I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
From the century-old St. John's Lutheran Church of Taylor, Michigan, comes the coast-to-coast edition of Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. The message from God's Word is prepared and delivered by Reverend Dr. Richard Ziley, and this local broadcast is made possible by the generosity of hearers like you. You may like us on Facebook, Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. May God bless your listening.
Upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. You shall not commit adultery.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
You shall not steal.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his servants, nor his cattle, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these your laws in our hearts, we pray.
God threatens to punish all that transgress these commandments.
Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not act contrary to them.
But he promises grace and every blessing to all that keep these commandments.
Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and willingly do according to his commandments.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is taken from the Gospel for this day, which has been read. I call your attention to the words of our text, Luke 17, verses 1 to 4 from today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." Consider what our Lord is saying in this small portion of today's gospel. He is saying it is bad to sin, but worse is to cause others to sin. And the way we handle those who sin against us can be a curse or a blessing. Therefore, Christ urges, pay attention to yourselves. Or as the King James translation puts it, take heed unto yourselves. In the first place, the Lord says temptations will come. Sin is unavoidable. It's like dirt. But there is a difference between those who wallow in it and those who try to live clean lives. As a child, I accompanied my father to a couple houses that he rented out. I recall one tenant who had 2 cats, which he apparently never let out, and used the living room rug as a cat box. She tried to cover it up with lavender incense, and this made the odor even more horrific. On another occasion, the upstairs tenant was better. He swept his apartment out, all into the stairwell, which had almost a 1/2 foot of debris, including eggshells, peelings, wrappers, grit, and hairballs. And reflecting on these experiences later, I realized that this may reflect how we deal with our sin. We may try to cover it up with good works, which the Bible tells us are an abomination to God, which Jesus described as hypocrites, the Pharisees who tried to cover their own sins with outward works for show. Or we may try to sweep our sins onto others, avoiding the effects of sin for ourselves, but forcing others to tramp through it. Christ's words are, pay attention to yourselves. Do we handle sin in our lives in a way that tempts others to sin? One way we do this is by the advice we give to others. When we are in a position of authority as a parent or teacher, a police officer or an attorney, as a manager or religious leader, people rely on us for guidance on how to conduct ourselves. Anyone who advises breaking the civil law is answerable to the civil court. And anyone who advises breaking God's moral law is answerable on doomsday, the day of judgment. Similar to our advice is what we praise or blame. Do we praise those who do the right thing, the things that make for peace, or do we praise things of violence? Do we praise those who are honest, or those who respond by stealth, craftiness, or cleverly avoid the rules? And this leads to the question of who are our heroes, and why do we admire them? Some of our heroes we admire for good qualities. Washington, who couldn't tell a lie. Lincoln, who was so honest. A singer whose voice is moving and expressive. An athlete whose performance is exceptional. There are many forms of excellence and beauty which we can enjoy, admire, and praise. But pay attention to yourselves. We may admire the brave soldier less for his courage than for his being able to kill his enemies. We may admire the beauty less for aesthetic qualities than for base and lustful reasons.
We may identify with some heroes because he or she gets away with the sins we would like to do. Pay attention to yourselves and choose heroes, entertainment, hobbies, and friends that do not encourage sin or bring temptation to others. The Lord says to rebuke sin and forgive the sinner. You know, the most common way in which we cause others to sin is how we handle their sins against us. I saw this clearly illustrated when I taught middle school, and a child in the front row screamed an insult to another child in the back, taking him out of class to deal with his conduct. I asked him why he yelled at the kid in the back. "He was making faces at me," the child replied. I calmly explained that if he had been facing the front, as he should have been, he would not have seen and been upset by the kid in the back row, and furthermore, that kid would soon become bored and quit making faces. I saw that open-mouthed expression of wonder and dawning understanding on that child. It's one of the joys of teaching middle school. But we adults too often do similar things. We have a run-in with someone, and then we look for trouble thereafter. We may not scream it out like the middle school kid, but we tell our coffee clatch and persuade any mutual friends to choose up sides. Some families are torn by such developments where two siblings or two in-laws or even two spouses stir the pot by making their private quarrel into a public conflagration. When we cannot tell our issues from others' issues, we are liable to participate in their sins. I suspect that there were many in Jerusalem that Good Friday who got caught up in the crowd dynamics, calling for the Christ to be crucified without being clear as to whether and why they were calling for the death of the Son of God. We can avoid much sin by minding our own business, and even more, by ignoring the sins of others, a form of forgiving the sins that others commit against us. I know my age is showing, but Tommy Smothers used to blurt out at times to his brother, "Mom always liked you best." He may have been sinned against, but he clearly expressed resentment, a sign that he had not forgiven either his mother or his brother. And this made him look ridiculous and pathetic, evoking laughter. And it was all an act, performed as a joke. But the joke works because we all recognize favoritism, resentment, and grudges in our family histories. Christ's cure for us is to accept the sinner, forgive the sin, and be free from its power to harm us. One reason we are plagued by such resentments is that our attention is focused on others. If only they would change their behavior toward us, we would be so much happier. Thus, we are tempted to spend our efforts trying to change others over whom we have little control, rather than changing ourselves, which, after all, is the one we are answerable for before God. Christ's command is to pay attention to yourselves, and it is therefore empowering in the human sense, for we need not allow others to lead us into sin, and we can say and do the things of Christ that oppose the power of sin in our world. And he tells us how to do this. We can oppose sin by rebuking and by forgiveness. Now, to rebuke sin is to call it out. If someone says to slip in without paying, simply say, "That isn't right." If someone shares some juicy gossip, rebuke it by saying, "It is not right to talk about others," or, "That's not the person I know," or some similar thing that puts the best construction on a neighbor's reputation. If someone sins against you, rebuke the sin and not the sinner. Say, you shorted me $10 on the job, not you are a liar and a thief. You can correct the first, but not the second. Do you hear the difference between condemning the sin and damning the sinner? It's the difference between being saved from sin and being sent to hell. Why is it so hard to rebuke sin? Because it requires thinking and understanding rather than feeling. We have to be clear what the sin is. A dishonest man may sell you a house he doesn't own, and when you try to move in, someone else is there. You may think him the enemy, when the real enemy and cause of your victimization is long gone from the scene. And in this instance, knowing what is right and how to avoid such fraud will help you avoid trouble. And if knowing human law is so helpful in ordinary life, how much more helpful for the spiritual life to know God's laws and God's wisdom? Pay attention to yourselves, Jesus says, and it means that we can identify our own sin, being aware of how we might understand the gift of forgiveness that Christ gives us and apply it to ourselves. But even more, we can share this gift of forgiveness with others. For this reason, Christ gave us the command and the power to forgive. If someone steps on your toe and you rebuke the sin, it gives the other person opportunity to express repentance. Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you all right? Now, this forgiveness does not give the clumsy more skill, or make the toe heal faster, or even reduce the physical pain. But this forgiveness does alert those who want to avoid hurting others to be more careful. And it gives opportunity to mend strained relationships. And notice that repentance does not always involve explicit admission of guilt or even acknowledgement of the sin. If someone takes your food from the refrigerator and you call him out for it, he may respond with defiance. But if he leaves your food alone thereafter, he has repented. And you ought to forgive. It is enough for us to observe the change in behavior rather than to insist upon humiliating apologies in most instances. And is it not better to see repentance in action than merely in words? Christ gave his life to deliver us from sin. He calls us to oppose sin as his disciples. We shall pay attention to ourselves so that we see our own sin and apply Christ's forgiveness to ourselves. Then we will rebuke sin, our own and that of others, against us, that it may be recognized and avoided. And finally, we will allow the grace and forgiveness we have received flow through us to others, and especially to those closest to us, that sin's power in our lives and relationships may diminish until the Lord appears in the sky and everything that opposes his rule will be placed under his feet. And his rule, his kingdom, eliminates every vestige of sin that now annoys and threatens us, especially death. May we, as the forgiven people of God, continue as his witnesses both to rebuke and avoid sin, and to practice forgiveness until that last splendid day. Amen.
Amen.
And may that peace of God that surpasses understanding keep your hearts and minds in this true faith for life everlasting.
begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Then go to sleep at once and in good cheer.